Right before this episode starts, if you want to enter in a giveaway for a $100 to $200 mic, go vote for me for the Rode and Anchor competition. We're trying to get to 100 votes, so that ensures that the giveaway happens. So if you want to win a microphone, vote for me and tell everyone that you know to also vote as well. The link is in the episode notes.
Welcome back to another episode of Hype Life. In this episode, we're going to be looking at the history behind Hermes. We'll begin in the beginning of the 19th century, since Hermes has been around since the 1800s. So, Thierry Hermes was born in Germany to a French father and a German mother. So, the family actually moved to France in 1828. In 1837, it's 9 years after they moved to France, Hermes first established a workshop in the quarters of Paris, dedicated to serving European noblemen. He created high-quality work harnesses for the carriage trade, winning him several awards, including the first prize in the class of 1855, and then again in 1867 at the Universelles in Paris. So Hermes's son, Charles Emily, took over management from his father in 1880 and moved to a shop. I cannot say the name in French, but he moved in a shop in 1880, which it still remains today. So with the help of his sons, Charles introduced saddles and started selling his products retail. So the company catered to the elite of Europe, North Africa, Russia, Asia, and the Americas. In 1900, the firm offered a bag that's specially designed for riders to carry their saddles with. After Charles' retirement, sons Adolphine and Emily took leadership and renamed the company to Hermes. So shortly after, Emily began furnishing the Tsar of Russia with saddles. By 1914, up to 80 saddle craftsmen were employed. So subsequently, Emily was granted the exclusive rights to use the zipper for leather goods and clothes, becoming the first to introduce the device in France. In 1918, Hermes introduced the first leather golf jacket and zipper, made for Edward, the Prince of Wales. Before its exclusive rights and regiment, the zipper became known in France as the Hermes. So, evidentially, the Hermes zipper was kind of the first kind of invention of this of the zipper before. So, not only did they work for the Tsar, they worked for, you know, the King of Wales, but they also kind of invented this zipper, which was pretty crazy. Fast forwarding a little bit, so from the mid-1930s, Hermes employed Swiss watchmaker Universal Genevieve as the brand's first executive designer of timepieces, producing a line of men's wrist watches that manufactured 18K gold or stainless steel, and women's Art Deco, which I think I've said that correctly, cuff watches in 18K gold or steel or platinum. So both models contained dials signed either Hermes or Hermes Universal Genevieve, which just kind of noted back to Hermes's men's line of designer. So after that, so while the watch movements were signing, Universal Genevieve SA, the Hermes Says Universal Partnership actually lasted until the 1950s. So roughly 20 years, the collaboration kind of lasted. Robert Hermes, which succeeded Emily Marie after his death in 1951, closely collaborated with brother-in-law Jean Renzi, which became the first man, not directly descended from Hermes, to lead the company because his connection to the family was only through marriage. So thus, he incorporated Hermes into his own name, which is Damas Hermes.
So the perfume business became kind of a success in 1961 with the introduction of the, and I cannot say the scent, but it's C-A-L-E-C-H-E with an accent over E. Anyway, that scent, named after a hooded four-wheeled horse carriage known since as the 18th century, and it's also the company's logo since the 1950s. If you do search up the Hermes logo or go to one of the shops that is getting built, they will always feature the horse, which is kind of a cool Easter egg. So after that, so in 2004, Jean-Claude Elnay became in the house perfumer or nose that has created several successful scents, including the Hermes's line of fragrances, which included a kind of a plethora of scents. Despite the company's success in the late 1970s, multiple shops have been established worldwide. Hermes decided to actually decline relative to its competitors. Some industry observers attributed to this decline to Hermes's exclusive use of natural materials for its products, unlike any other company that were using new man-made materials. So during a two-week lapse in orders, Hermes workrooms were silent. The renewed success of Hermes's fragrance in the marketplace was probably due to the public's increasingly paradigmatic shift away for this artificial ingredients and back to actual natural materials. This likely contributed to reestablishing Hermes as a major player in the fragrance industry. And luckily, they actually decided to break through once again. It was looking pretty dark with 2 weeks with no customers, pretty much. So I think it's really cool how they came back as a company, and people realized that they really like natural products and not artificial. Now, not to forget about Damas Hermes, a little catch-up, because it was kind of earlier on the episode. He was actually married to one of the people that owned Hermes and became basically one of the first people to own Hermes that was not a family member. Anyway, he brought designers Eric Bergen and Bernard Sands to revamp the apparel collection, and in the collaboration added unusual entries. So they included the Python motorcycle jackets and ostrich skin jeans, which was dubbed as the snazzier version of what Hermes has been all along. It became actually head of film, and reports they sold $50 million. So by the 1990s, annual sales reported and this is all in U.S. dollars, by the way. This is United States dollars, $460 million, mainly due to the to Damas's strategy. In 1979, he had launched an advertising campaign that featured a young clad woman that was wearing a Hermes scarf. The purpose was to introduce Hermes's brand to a new set of customers. As one fashion sector observer noted, much of what bears the still discreet Hermes label changed from the object of an old person's nostalgia to the subject of a young person's dreams. So, however, Damas' change of image created outrage both within and outside the film.
Also in the 1970s, the Watch Something Seri, La Mer Hermes, was established in Switzerland. Then throughout the 1980s, Dumma strengthened the company's hold on its suppliers, resulting in Hermes's gain in great stakes and prominent French glassware, silverware, acquiring the venerable tableware manufacturers such as St. Louis and Perigord. Said that wrong, but it's Perigord. Hermes relocated his workshops and design studios to Pantin, just outside of Paris. So by June of 1993, Hermes has gone public on the Paris brochure, which is just a stock exchange. So at the time, the equity sale guaranteed great excitement. So in the 425,000 shares floated at FFR 300, which was $55 at the time, and oversubscribed by 34 times. Dumas told Forbes magazine that the equity sale would help lessen family tensions to allow some members to liquidate their holdings without squabbling over share valuations among themselves. So to this time, Hermes family was still retaining a stronghold, about 80% in stocks, placing the Jean Louis Dumas and the entire family on the Forbes list of billionaires. Miami Tompkins of U.S. News and World Report called the company one of Paris's best guarded jewels. By the late 1900s, Hermes exactly diminished the number of franchise stores, buying them up and opening more company-operated boutiques. The fashion industry was caught off guard in September of 1999 when Jean-Louis decided to pay the $150 million for a 35% stake in the fashion house. In the later part of the 1990s, the company encouraged its clientele to Fantaisie Nous Rêver, which it just means make us dream, producing throughout the period artistically eclipsed orders. Known for luxury goods, by 2008, Hermes had produced 14 divisions that comprised leather, scarves, ties, men and women's wear, perfume, watches, footwear, gloves, decorative arts, tableware, and jewelry. Hermes sales composed about 30% leather goods and 15% clothes, 12% scarves, and 43% other wares. The company licensed no products that keep tight control over design and manufacture over its vast inventory. The firm was attached to its traditional business model and rejects mass production, assembly lines, and mechanization. Hermes's goods were almost entirely made in France and in hand by a middle-sized workshop known as Les Altiers Hermes that comprised high-quality manufacturing. Indeed, Hermes claims most items in fabricating from the beginning to the end by only one person, which is supposed to guarantee the quality and uniqueness of its product. In 2012, Hermes's retail outlets changed their policy regarding returns and exchange of products. Consumers may only exchange items within 10 days of purchase and only for another color variant of the original purchase. No other post-purchase changes are permitted. and refunds are never offered, regardless of the consumers having a reset. The scarf square was introduced in 1937. The first example was a 70 centimeter by 70 centimeter print of a white wiggled females playing a popular period game. The custom made accessory named G de Omnes e Dame Blanches. I probably butchered the name, but anyway, they named it that. And then Hermes oversaw the production of its scarves through the entire process, purchasing raw Chinese silk, spinning into yarn, and weaving it into fabric twice as strong as heavy as most scarves available during that time. The company's scarf designs spent years creating new print patterns that involved screen printed. Designers can choose from over 70,000 different colors. When production first began, a dedicated factory was established in Lyon, France, the same time that Hermès celebrated its 100th anniversary. Complementary to Hermès's carry measure, which is 90 centimeters by 90 centimeters, weighed 65 grams, and are woven from the silk of 250 moth cocoons. All hems were hand-stitched. Two silk scarf collections per year are released, along with reprints of older designs in limited editions. In 1937, Hermes had produced over 2,000 unique designs that were particularly famous and popular. The Cumulus Bridges de Galais version introduced in 1957 had been produced more than 70,000 times. An Hermes scarf sold somewhere in the world every 25 seconds by the late 1970s. More than 1.1 million scarves have been sold worldwide. Hermes was known for handmade luggage and handbags. One of them might require 18 to 24 hours to produce. The construction of each Kelly bag, for example, required 18 hours to fully assemble and realize. Hermes's leather come from all over the world. Consumers may currently wait 6 months to 1 year for delivery of one of the house's signature bags. Incidentally, should Hermes leather goods require repair, owners can bring them, actually any item, into the Hermes store, where it will be shipped to Paris in France, or not Paris in France, but it will be shipped to France in for repairing. So another famous Hermes handbag, which was called the Birkin, was named after English actress Jane Birkin. In a chance encounter with Jean-Louis Domas, she complied that her bag was not particularly for the everyday use. Subsequently, he invited her to France, where they co-designed the bag in 1884. The Birkin had stopped carrying the namesake bag due to the bag it became too large and heavy for her to carry. Asked by her that her name be removed, and that much back and forth became comments about variation issues, such as having her name removed. According to Vogue, Jane Birkin is satisfied by the measures taken by Hermes, according to the brand, following investigation by the fashion house. Claims had made that the famous Birkin bags were constructed from the skins of factory farmed and cruelly slaughtered crocodiles, unfortunately. In November 2020, Hermes and handbags sold at Christie's for a record of, and this is in Hong Kong, dollars. So this is Hong Kong, 3.4 million. Or in the U.S., it is $437,000. This set of new sales record for the handbag of any kind, according to the auction house, which described the item as being made from a hidden a hide of white nail crocodiles, which is very rare, and that's why the bag was worth 400 grand. So that was a little history behind Hermes. Now, the last part of this episode, we're going to be going over some items by Hermes and kind of checking them out. The first section we're going to be looking over with items is the men bag section. So the first one up on our list is the light 1-37 briefcase. So with Hermes, a little background knowledge, a lot of their products are very, very minimalistic, and they normally just have one, maybe two colors with barely any branding. So a lot of these items are just really discreet looking, but they'll last you a really long time. And a lot of these projects are actually more expensive than Louis Vuitton, which Louis Vuitton is already really expensive. So this briefcase bag is black all over with a, looks like a metal lock that you can, it's just a flap that you can open up. This bag, they're selling for $6,800. And this one is pretty cool. It's very minimalistic, as I said. But you'll see a bunch of briefcases if you go to their site, and we'll review just a little because they do have a lot. So the next one is the City Slide Pouch. This one actually goes for roughly $3,300. This one's pretty cool. The difference is on the strap. Okay, now looking at the strap, no, but. Again, sometimes on the strap, they'll put Hermes on it or H for Hermes on it. And that'll just kind of tell you that it is Hermes. Now, the only color it comes in is blue, but with a kind of a dark bluish slash black strap. So a little bit behind this. So this was actually a extraordinary line for the messenger bag for men. So it was carried over the shoulder or at the waist. These sporty and complimentary bags feature the signature buckle. City Slide bags emphasize free association and slip gracefully through the city streets. So that was just a little bit info about this item. Obviously, it is big success, but I think a good way, a little tip for Hermes bags, if you're going to carry them, I would definitely say this would just be like a plain piece. So if you're going for a pretty just basic outfit, and I mean for a high price, of course, this would be great. It's nothing too flashy, but it definitely is really high quality. Now, the next one is the tablet pouch. Now, they have a tablet pouch, but they also have... they also have the pouch. They also have a tablet. They have a tablet case, and then they also, I believe, have a computer case. Now, both of them are around $3,000. The table pouch, which is a red colorway, is $2,000 or $2,000. And then the computer one, I believe, that is has like a mountain landscape on it, which is actually way more kind of not minimalistic to their heritage, but that's all right. This one goes for $2,900. These are pretty cool. These are also something different, as you can see. I mean, with Hermes itself, it is definitely a good idea to pair this with more of an outfit with kind of color and just kind of a complex outfit, because I definitely think it will bring life to the bag kind of if you put them together. And that's way with kind of like a lot of items, I would definitely say. So another thing is they created many different briefcases. They're all revolving around 6,000. And I just want to talk to them a little bit. So they definitely have different buckles. Some are just the they're the buckles that kind of look like the ones that go on belts. Some are the Hermes, a kind of special belt what they kind of created. And there's kind of all different all around, and there's some bigger one, bigger straps and belts, and some are not as much. So it is definitely very cool that they are switching up kind of the design and overall, not only the buckles, but they're definitely switching design over a lot of the men's backs. So that kind of wraps it up for the men's bag section. We're going to go on one more section to the men's side, and then we're going to go on over it to the women's side. So I got to give the last section to the men's side, to the shoes. So the first shoe kind of silhouette is we're going to be doing is the loafer. So there's the Ivering loafer and then Blaze loafer. The difference is on the Ivering loafer, there's kind of a there's a different pattern, and it's kind of these. It's kind of looks like what you see on the bottom of cleats, but it's, instead of it being spiky, it's just little kind of those things that kind of go up. It's kind of like the pattern of cleats, if you know what I'm trying to say. The other one is the Blaze. I think that's how you say it. Blaze loafer, which is just a flat bottom. And it is just a little different than the Ivering. So the Ivering loafer, this one's actually not bad for the price of Hermes. This is made out of leather with a really cool detailing in the front. This is retailing at 1,000 for the brown colorway. Now there's many different ones on different colors. Now this is just one of them, which is the natural. Now there's Noir, which is black with red interiors. There is Marine, which is just a blue with red interiors. There's a blue indigo, which is gray bottoms, dark blue tops, and then inside it's red. And then a couple more, or like are called the Methine, which is this green on the top, blue in the bottom, and then green inside. And probably one of my favorites is just the all white, which is called the Blue Glacier. So I think this is definitely where they, where Hermes kind of shines. I really like these loafers. Now I like the other ones better. Now I mean the Irving, I think it definitely can grow on me, but I definitely like the Blaze ones. So now looking at the Blaze, it is a pretty much exactly the same price. Now it is only $25 more. So there's one which is the white colorway, and then there's all black Blaze loafers. The brown, this kind of dark brown shoe. Another, it's a blue all over. And then they also have the Marine, which is the dark blue all over, which is pretty cool. Now, another thing to look on is when Hermes does sizing, they're definitely still in France. They don't do sizing like Louis Vuitton. They don't have like a United States section. It is definitely sized. It's sized in Euro, so it's like 38, 39, and whatnot. So I definitely say when you're checking out these shoes and, I mean, anything buying here, just make sure you're going to get the right size because it is Euro-based. So the next shoes we're looking at is just the sneakers. This is the everyday kind of used sneakers instead of the, like, kind of like the special sneakers for, like, a special event. So there's some, like, this one's called the Quicker Sneaker. This retails for $980, and there's this big ink splash in one of the sides of the shoe, and then inside there's the Hermes logo with the H, and then on top there's the horse, which, like I said, is very notorious. This comes in many different colors and many different styles. On the side, like a broken down horse that kind of looks like glass on the side. There's just the plain H logo on the side. And they also have a flying horse print on the side, which I think is really cool. So that was one of the sneakers. Now another one, for example, is it's called Addict Sneakers. This is kind of funny, but basically it looks like a basic looking shoe, and again, like I said, it's very minimalistic, meaning it'll be just very plain. Now this is a very great shoe. It definitely has different colors. It is definitely very colorful, but there's no name branding at all. They just want it purely to be yours, I guess. There's small little H's that are kind of hard to see, actually, in the middle of the shoe. But this does retail for $850, making it actually pretty cheap for Hermes itself. And then let's look on a couple more. For example, the Stadium sneaker. This is probably one of my favorites. It features this stitching along the middle kind of size up to the upper and then the lower, and it's like green. This one actually goes for $3,700. It is definitely way more expensive, but it definitely looks very, very nice. And these are kind of sneakers that kind of look like just everyday sneakers that you could just walk with, basically. Now, another thing is they also have slip-on sneakers that kind of look on it. They call it slip sneakers. And a little detail about that is they are $750. They come in many different colors. One I'm looking at is white. Now, one more part to the shoes, and then I think we'll go on to the women's side, is the sandals. The sandals have really interesting patterns on the top, and they normally retail around $700. Some are $750, some are $690, and then some are a little lower than that at $590, but most of them will revolve around $700 for the slippers, which are a bit pricey, but I definitely think they are definitely very worth it. So instead of going to the women's bags, let's branch off to some of their silk items. So this includes scarves and also it's scarves and silk accessories. So I believe most all of their scarves are made of silk, which is basically just the nicest material, I guess. And they can range from $400 to $1,000. So they have very interesting patterns, including one that kind of looks like feathers into a pattern. They have some plain looking ones that is called, for example, this one is just in blue. And this one's called the Jacquard Lounge Medium model, which actually retails at $335, which is not bad for silk, not gonna lie. Another one is just these really interesting line patterns that you'll see with these shawls and silk accessories, I guess you could say. Some of them are just these really cool patterns, including like stars and lines and stuff like that. And like I said, they do create these patterns over a long period of time. Some are very simple with no logging on them. And like, for example, this one's just pink. And this is called the new Libra Stole, which is $970. Stole, that's what I meant to say. And then some are, it's like this for one is more intricate and you can really see what's going on. This is called the, this is kind of like the Pegasus horse. It's called Le Pegasus d'Hermes Cut Wash Scarf, which is $140, which retails at $930. This one's pretty cool. So it's split into two halves. One half is kind of like this blueprint kind of side. It has like a sketch of a horse. The other side is continuing the drawing, but instead it's very colorful. It's kind of two different sides of the horse. And they also do a lot of those horses, like they do it in different patterns. This one for $1,000 is kind of like Cinco de Mayo, where it's very colorful, very floral. And it has a horse in the middle with these floral patterns all over. And then going back to the 1900s, 1937, I believe, they also have this image of a carriage. And it's kind of like the front side of the carriage. It's a really cool angle. It's not like their classic side image of the carriage. So it is definitely very hidden, kind of. It's kind of like hidden, but not hidden. You're like, what is that? And you're like, oh yeah, that's the carriage from the Hermes logo. They also have this one, which I think is my favorite, although this might be a unisex. This is not exactly women's, I would say, but this is an all orange with a Hermes logo. They have many different styles of logos with the H in the middle. And it is also, of course, made of silk. This is called, see if I can pronounce, or actually, yeah, I can pronounce the name, New Libris stole. I said it a little bit back, but this is also a different colorway. So this comes in, or a different model. So this comes in white, orange, purple, red, and a reddish orange. Then it comes with kind of an olive colorway, or like a tan colorway, a pink, a white, and black. And they also have five different others, including different shades of blue, an olive, and a pink. So they definitely have a lot of that. Now, a second thing I want to talk about, this is kind of course, unisex, not nor men or women's, but this is, they actually collaborated with Apple in the past, and they created the Hermes Series 6 case, or the Series 6, basically Hermes. So they made the band, but they also made it very exclusive. So not only is the band good, but they also, I believe, produced the watch itself. So the band and the screen are all made by Hermes. It also comes with some of Hermes's different kind of exclusive clock faces, which is featuring the Hermes logo. Now, it's really cool. So they also, not only do they come with a leather band, but they also come with an orange sports band. So just in case you want to take this, and run with it, instead of getting sweat on the leather band, you can just, get sweat on just the rubber one. And I actually don't believe it is rubber. I forgot what it is, but it is also Hermes that also comes with it. Now, the series case, which is the 44 millimeters, so the series 6 44 millimeter Hermes collaboration, so that this one goes for $1,300. Now, you can find ones that are $1,500 for like different accessories and whatnot, but they're mainly around $1,300. I definitely wanted to underline that. So we're going to be going over one more quick section of the women's line, and then and that will be pretty much the end of this episode. So the first watch is the RQ Petsy Loon watch, which is a 38 millimeter. This one is actually $10,000 watch. This has it's mostly reason that because the band around it is made out of crocodile, which makes it very expensive. And then on the clock face, it says Hermes Paris on the right hand side, and on the left hand side there's a moon logo. And then on the bottom, I believe that's seconds. And then in the whole clock face, you'll just see two dials, which is really cool. So a little bit information about this is, so it's actually a gem set steel watch with diamond and sapphire sprinkled setting. The gem set white natural mother of pearl dial. It's a 38 millimeter diameter in Hermes manufacturer movement, and it's H1837. Small moon molecule, short strap, interchangeable strap, and smooth sapphire blue alligator. This one was actually not made in like normally in Paris, but this was made in Switzerland, and I think and that is very interesting. Now, most, I believe, in my knowledge, most items in Hermes is
is made in Paris because it is located in Paris. But this one, kind of especially, was made in Switzerland instead. So when I said 7 to 8 watches, I kind of misspoke. We're going to actually be looking on one more watch because we are coming up on the 40-minute mark. So yeah, let's go look on one more. This one, we'll leave it out with another $10,000 watch. This one is the same style with a crocodile blue, but in the center, it's like this, it's a white fading to this dark blue. This also features a lot of diamonds, actually. So this is a diamond set steel watch, and it's actually laser engraved in the blue dial. So there's these lines that go kind of to the middle. It's kind of jagged, while in the middle it's really white, and then it just kind of disperse into blue. And this one is actually made in Switzerland. Again, so this one's really cool. I would rather get this one, actually, maybe more than the other, but I'm not actually sure. And a little bit of a clue with the diamonds that I think some people are wondering is there's actually 100 diamonds in there. There's not a ton of diamonds in there, but it is almost 0.3 carats of diamonds, or 100 diamonds of that. So it's very, very delicate, small diamonds in there that are probably VVS or International Flawless, which is probably right now one of the best grades. So this is the last watch, and we'll leave it out with that. So again, if you do want to be on my podcast, go and email me at hypelifepodcast@gmail.com. It'll also be in the notes of this episode. And I'll see you in the next episode of Hype Life.